2, check, 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 1, 2, testing. All right. Funny feeling I might knock one of these over, iPads flying. Well, the last time we were together, we saw that Jesus Christ was sovereign, even though he was being arrested. He was in control. And tonight, as we go through this passage of Scripture in John 19, I want to ask a question, and let's find out the answer as we go through the passage of Scripture. But who's on trial? Who's on trial? I want you to think about that question. Who is on trial? So as we go through this section of Scripture, we are going to discover just who that is. Who's on trial? So we saw the arrest of Jesus by Pilate. And then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put him on a purple robe. And they said to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. And Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you. You may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out and wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, a man." What I want you to notice here, that Pilate is constantly looking for some way out of this situation. He had talked to Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him in such terms and in such ways that Pilate was somewhat amazed at who he was. And as a result of that, he says, "I've got to do something to try and appease the crowd." So they told him, "We want this man put to death." We saw that in John chapter 18. And so now he's looking for some way out of it. So what does he do? He says, I'll scourge the guy. I'll whip him. I'll allow him to get 39 lashes. And that's what he would have gotten, 39 lashes. Lashes that were with a whip that at the end of it would have small whips off the end. And each one would have steel or bone embedded in the ends of them, so that when they lashed, they would grab, and the bone and the steel would grab, and then they would rip and tear and pull the flesh off at the back. So the stripes that was across Jesus after 39 lashes, there would be very little flesh left on his body. It would have been a torn and ripped mess. That whip would have come around and hooked him here and then ripped right across there, as he would experience that. And that's the kind of lashing that he would have received from the Roman soldiers. And I can say this with authority, because this is the way it was done. This is...
like in the fashion that was really, you think
it
was tortured that much?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the movie The Passion does show us a pretty good picture of the physical sufferings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really talk about the spiritual sufferings of Jesus, but it does give you a portrayal of the physical. Jesus had to take and experience the fullness of the awfulness of the suffering for sin. He had to take it all. He had to experience the fullness of physical suffering, because hell is going to have that. He had to experience the fullness of mental anguish, because hell is going to have that. He had to experience the fullness of spiritual anguish, because hell is going to have that too. And Jesus had to experience all of that in every way. And this was a precursor to the suffering of the crucifixion, which is deemed as the cruelest death that can be bestowed upon anyone, even down through all of these years. And so we find them, Pilate sending Jesus to be scourged. And of course, while that was happening, the soldiers got involved. And they said, "This guy says that he's a king. Let's make a crown of thorns. Let's put it on his head." And they put a purple robe on him to make him look like he was royalty, because purple was a very expensive cloth. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. And so we can see there was a mockery happening here to Jesus as this was going on. But I'm still going to ask the question, who's on trial? And you're going to maybe, of course, the logical answer is, well, Jesus is on trial. But I want you to think about that question as we go through this passage. So Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may find that what? I find no fault in him." In other words, Pilate's declaration was, this man is innocent. Now, what had he already done to him? He already got him scourged, right? Even though all logic and all reason and justice says this man should walk out the door, Pilate had him scourged. Why did he do that?
So people
may be able to take pity. So for what reason, though? Why did he want to rescue Jesus? That's true. But why then did he not let him go? His wife had dreams that have nothing to do with that just man. But why then didn't he let him go? He was following the crowd. He was following the crowd. That's why he didn't. Because he had was weighing out the crowd's response and what might happen to him. And so suddenly he was covering himself. And Jesus was not as important as Pilate was himself. And so then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man. Look at the man." And you know, really the Spirit of God has been saying that down through the ages. Behold the man. Look at him. Pilate had his own reasons to say that. Pilate wanted them to take pity. Pilate wanted them to have some remorse, some willingness to say, okay, that's enough. That's enough. We know he's innocent. But that's not what happened. When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Again, no fault in Jesus Christ. Pilate said, I'm not doing this. You do it. You want to kill him? You do it. The Jews said, "We have a law. And according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Oops. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the emporium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer. He'd already told him. He already had the conversation with him. But here we can see that suddenly Pilate begins to have a fear of spiritual things. Up to now, he was running on the fear of man. Up to now, he had some hint of, well, trying to do justice, but the fear of man was interfering with him. But now there was a beginning of fear concerning this man who said he was the Son of God. So he says, I'm becoming frightened here, Pilate was. Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" So what's Pilate saying? "Don't you know that I have you on trial?" Right? But who's on trial? Jesus answered, "You have no power against me at all, unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." So Jesus says, "Listen, you think you have power? You think you're judging me?" He says, "You have nothing that hasn't been given to you from above." And so he says, "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." And that would have been Judas. That also would have been the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes. What Jesus is saying here, he says, "I'm not the one on trial here. You are." You see, Pilate was on trial. The Jews were on trial. The human race was on trial. You were on trial. In the Old Testament, there was a time when Daniel was in Babylon. He was a prophet. And I think it was Belshazzar was having a party, the king. He was having an awesome time. All his friends were there, and all of a sudden, a hand appeared on the wall. You ever hear the writing is on the wall? That's where that comes from, that story. And the hand appeared, and it wrote this: "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin," which translated means, "You've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting." You've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. In other words, here's the scales and you've been weighed in those balances and you've been found lacking. And they didn't know what it meant, but Daniel had to come and interpret it for them. And that night, judgment came on them, and they were put to death. Judgment came on Babylon because they were weighed in the balances and found wanting. God is judging the earth. The Lord is the judge. And yet, here is the irony of all of this. Men thought that they could judge God, and they decided they would. And here stands God Almighty in the presence of men, and men have passed judgment on God. But who's really on trial? The human race is on trial. We're on trial. And there, as they have the Son of God standing before them, wondering what they should do with him. But God had already preordained and arranged what would happen to the Son of God. But in that process, it is important to understand that they were going to reap the consequences for their actions. Even as Jesus said, for the one who delivered to me to you has the greater sin. It didn't mean that Pilate didn't have any sin. It didn't mean that Pilate was not going to have given account for his judgments. But also those who had, the Jews who had delivered him, along with Judas Iscariot, were going to come under a greater judgment. You see, we have to understand, somebody asked me this question this past week about what about people who never heard, and what happens to these people over here, and what about people who know less than what these people know? If you want to know something, if you look in the Bible carefully, you will discover that the Bible actually says there's degrees of punishment in hell. Did you know that? There's actually degrees of punishment in hell. And it's not based upon the particular sin that people committed. What do you think it might be based on then? By how much you know. To much is given, much will be required. Remember Jesus said, woe to you, as he spoke about the cities around him, Tyre and Sidon. He said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen what you see, they would have repented. And so he actually tells them, therefore, you're going to receive a greater judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah. What? The religious people, the ones with the robes and the scriptures and everything else, were going to receive a greater judgment than the homosexuals were? And we live in a culture today where even Christians, you know, can say, oh, that homosexuality, what a terrible sin it is. What a terrible judgment's going to fall on them. And yet there are people who are full of religion are going to receive a greater judgment than the homosexuals. Think of that now. What do we think? Who's on trial? We're the ones on trial, not Jesus Christ. God has settled about the matter. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is pleased with his Son. And when the Father is pleased with his Son, it doesn't matter if the whole world is displeased with him. It doesn't change the reality of it. And I want to ask you that question. And I want you to think about, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Well, you know, I don't know if I want to follow him, but I believe he's real. Listen, you're either going to follow him or you're going to go to hell, one or the other. You're either going to trust him or you're not. There is no in-between ground here. And Pilate thought he could have some wiggle room. He was looking for wiggle room. And he worked hard at it, didn't he? Look what he did. He had him crucified. He brought him before them. He presented it to them. And then, of course, we saw earlier he had taken Barabbas. And he presented Barabbas to them. And he said, I've got a thief. I've got a murderer here. I'll put him up there. Surely that'll give me the wiggle room I need. Surely these people will see Barabbas should be the one who's being put to death and not Jesus. But what did they do? They chose Barabbas, right? They chose Barabbas. And so here's Pilate looking for some way to be from this. So from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And so the Jews knew the point to touch with him. They knew that Pilate wanted to be in favor with Caesar. And all of the Roman leaders at that time, the last place on earth they wanted to be was in Judea. In all of the Roman Empire, there was no more troublesome place to rule than Judea, than Israel. Why? The Jews would not relent. They would continually, there was revolts, the Maccabeans and others, and they would revolt against them. There was constant outcry from these people. They were hard to manage. Because they kept saying, no, we only worship Jehovah. And of course, they didn't want the Roman emperor's coinage. And they made concessions with those Jews just to try and rule them. But it was an awful place to be. And it's the last place that Pilate wanted to be, nor any other Roman ruler. They wanted to be back in Rome. They wanted to be at the seat of power. And here, if an accusation, and if you could make it into Israel, you could make it anywhere. But if you, many a ruler lost their favor with Caesar because they couldn't manage the Jews. Yes. Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
For young people or
anybody.
How we make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly it. And that's exactly what we see here. They knew the touchstone. They knew just what to say to cause Caesar, to cause Pilate to become concerned. Because if he fell out of favor with Caesar, he was done for. So it was Caesar or it was Christ. I want you to know something. It's whatever it is or Christ. It always is. It's all or nothing, Jesus says. It's hot or cold. Who are you going to serve? What will people think if they hear that you're a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find out it's true? We were listening to that song on the way up. What will they do with it if they find out you belong to Jesus Christ? Or we try to keep that little secret. Let's keep it under the wraps here. I don't want anybody to know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, you got no wiggle room. I want you to know that right now. You have no wiggle room. If you don't follow Jesus Christ, then you'll follow the devil into hell. It's one way or it's the other. That's the truth of the matter. You're the ones on trial. We're the ones on trial.
And if you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't be quiet about it.
Pardon me?
If you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't be quiet.
Well, it'll come out. The truth will come out one way or the other. That's right. You're compelled. And so, Pilate's faced with this. And what does he do? When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." He was still trying. He was still trying to find some wiggle room here. But what did they do? He actually says to them, "Listen, here's your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Look how hard he's trying. Look how much he's just tempting to get out of this. The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And that was, what a statement that was for those Jews. What a statement. How far down the rabbit hole they went when they made that statement. Because they hated Caesar. They wanted nothing to do with Caesar. They were constantly trying to get rid of Caesar. But now, in the face of Jesus Christ, anything but Jesus, anything but God, anything but morality, anything but God's way, anything but righteousness. We will take the lowest dregs. We will take the most heinous stuff as long as we don't have to deal with Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, has been the cry of the world over and over again, century after century. Anything but Jesus Christ. We'll take any substitute, but we will not take Jesus. And it is amazing that even those who are so full of religion, when it comes to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, they don't want any part of it. They don't want anything to do with it. And they are angry at those who would profess it and proclaim it.
That could be written today on the telephone news.
Absolutely. No, there's no question.
It's happening every day now.
Has anything changed? No, and the human race is still on trial. We're still on trial. Every human being is still in that place.
You said anything but Jesus, what they're saying is, we have no king but Caesar.
Yeah.
Today they took, they've taken Jesus out of the courts, out of the government,
right,
out of the schools.
Absolutely.
They'll take anything but the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's the same story today.
The same story, absolutely. So finally, what does Pilate do? He delivered him to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. Oh, the Son of God in all of his beauty and all of his glory. The one who did righteousness in every way, who never once sinned, was led away. judged by the human race as unworthy, considered to be the offscouring of the earth, and cast away. We away with him. We want nothing to do with him. As you look in other passages of scripture, you see that that was their heart. And so what will you do with Jesus? What did the disciples do? They forsook him. What did Peter do? He denied him. What will you do with Jesus? Judas betrayed him. What will you do with Jesus? His own people slandered him. The chief priests and elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Matthew 26, 59 and 60. But found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. They found none. What will you do with Jesus? His people rejected and condemned him. John 1:11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. And they said, look now, you have heard his blasphemy. Matthew 26:66. What do you think? And they answered and said, he is deserving of death. What will you do with Jesus? His people mocked and abused him. Matthew 26:67. Not only the Roman soldiers slapped him around, but also the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews did the same. When they did this false trial in the night, they spit in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palm of their hands and said, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? What will you do with Jesus? Herod. What did he want to do with Jesus? He wanted him to perform. He wanted him to do some kind of miracle in his presence. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he desired for a long time to see him because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. He wanted a circus performer. And Jesus didn't do anything or speak one word to him, so Herod just sent him back to Pilate. What will you do with Jesus? Here's Pilate. Pilate marveled at him. The governor marveled greatly when he answered him not a word. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate declared him innocent. I'm bringing to you him to know that I find no fault in him. John 19:4. Pilate feared him. John 19:7. Isn't this what he said? Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid when he heard that he was the Son of God. Pilate tried to stay neutral. When Pilate saw he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. But could he do that? No. He was given a mandate. They could not put him to death under Roman law. Pilate had to give the go-ahead. But he said, I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm going to get rid of my guilt by washing my hands. Imagine, you know, in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah says, though I take much cleaning agent, nitre, and soap, yet my sin is marked before you, O God. No means of humanity could ever wash away our sin, even of rejecting Jesus Christ. I'm innocent of this blood-just person. You see to it. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate was forced to decide. He released Barabbas to them, and when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. What will you do with Jesus? We all crucified him. Our sin put him there. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, Pilate, with all of his attempts to wiggle out, to stay in favor with Rome, to make sure that Caesar would be happy with him, to keep the peace in Jerusalem so that he would have look good, to save face. Shortly after this, Pilate fell out of favor. And he returned to Rome and he killed himself. He drowned himself in a lake. That was the end of Pilate. It didn't work. It never does. You give the world an inch, it'll take a mile. You give the devil a little bit of your life, he'll take it all. He won't hold back. He'll stomp you into the ground. He'll ruin you in every way. He'll drag you into the very flames of hell because that's what he does. What? There's no let up. There's no mercy. There never will be mercy with the devil. He will never go a little slack here or a little slack there. But I praise God there is a Savior, and I praise the Lord tonight that we can stand and we can behold a man We can behold Jesus Christ, and we are always left with a choice. What will I do with Jesus? We all are. Yes. Well, the term in the Bible is never given, soul, selling your soul to the devil. So I can't answer you the exact question to that. But I know that people were deeply demon-possessed and owned by demons. A man with a legion of demons, which I'll be preaching next week on in Shedicam. A man with a legion of demons was delivered. So Jesus can rescue anybody from the devil's clutches. He absolutely can. But we are faced with a choice. And we can see that here. And God allowed that to happen. And so we can stop and reflect on the truth. Listen, Jesus was not the one on trial. We were. And we need to respond. What will you do with Jesus Christ? And you need to come up with an answer. There is no wiggle room here. There's none. You are faced with one or you are faced with the other. And in the end, you will lose. If you don't have Christ, you will lose. I guarantee you, you will lose. Those Pharisees and scribes and those ones who rejected Jesus Christ, if they continue with that rejection, they are in hell. And they are crying out just as the man who died and he said, I have five brothers, let's send Lazarus back to warn them lest they also come to this place of torment. They have discovered that it was not a trifle thing to reject Jesus Christ. Pilate discovered that, and so has any other person in the history of the world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old hymn that asks this question. It goes like this. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what means the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? That's the truth of the matter. We're the ones on trial. And that is actually what Pilate said to them. What will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? That was his question. And I encourage you, encourage us all. We need to embrace Jesus Christ. Because what will he do with you? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Pilate bowed before Jesus Christ. He said, don't you know I have the power to release you or to condemn you? Jesus said, you have the power. You have no power except it's been given to you from above. Pilate bowed his knee to Jesus Christ. Every one of those who shouted, crucify him, bows a knee to Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You'll have no choice. They will bow reluctantly, but they will bow. What will he do with you? Here's what Jesus said in John 5:22. The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. This Jesus, this one who was taken and brought out before a mock trial stands to judge the world. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture and I ask the question, who's on trial? We are. And oh, what a happy day when we are willing to say, what will I do with Jesus? I won't say away with the man. I won't say crucify him. I want nothing to do with him. I won't say I want give me sin. Give me unrighteousness. Give me the world. Give me the sway of men's hearts. Let me fall into favor with my friends. So I don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't want to live for Jesus because my friends are more important. My status in my community is more important. What people think of me is more important. All of the things that we could list, my wealth, my crookedness, my desire, my fleshly desires, my sexual appetites, these things are more important than Jesus Christ. What will we do with Jesus? We are left with that choice that it's all or nothing. Lord Jesus, we embrace you as Lord and Savior of our lives. Lord Jesus, we stand before you and we acknowledge, Lord, that you are the King of glory. We acknowledge you, Lord, as the Savior of our souls. We acknowledge you of a God of great mercy. And friends, isn't he merciful? Isn't he merciful? Because even every one of us, even being first exposed to Jesus Christ, we made wrong decisions. Even being exposed to him, we turned away. We turned away from the little bit of light that was given to us many times. But did he not pursue us? Did he not love us? Did he not go the extra mile? Did he not come off of his throne in a sense and come alongside and bring conviction and persuasion and do whatever he could to open your eyes to see that he loves us, that he loves us? So this is not some dispassionate judge who is quick to dispel great judgments on people. This is a God of great mercy and love and passion and compassion, that he would come alongside of us and do whatever he can to draw us into a place where we would say yes to him. Because none of us here deserve to be saved, and none of us would make the right choice of our own volition. We needed his mercy and his grace, and he has offered it to us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to gladly say to you, Lord, you can have all of us. You can have our hearts and our souls. And Lord Jesus, we want to be able to point people to you and say, behold a man. Behold the King. Look at Jesus. Trust in him. Because he is worthy to be praised and honored for eternity. This one who stood in a mock trial before the sons of men. This one who is our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Praise your name, Lord Jesus Christ. We want to gladly bow our knee, not reluctantly, but gladly, and say, you are the King of glory. Take all of our lives. God, have mercy on us and enable us to make right choices with our lives every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody have any comments or thoughts? Yes.
I keep thinking about all the missionaries that were here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that they probably live in a culture where everybody is Christian and everybody's all the same, but we live here where no one is. People may be religious, but they're...
Yeah.
And I know myself, I feel like this was written right to me. In terms of not getting up and shouting. Because there's so much pressure on family, relatives, friends.
Yeah.
Who are going like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame to testify of Jesus in our culture. It is. Keep that to yourself.
Exactly.
Keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear that. I don't need that. It's a shame to testify of Jesus, the beautiful creator of the universe who became one of us. And most of the people that you're trying to testify to would agree that that's who he is, but not in reality.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Jesus, you're saying God's name, but when you say Jesus,
yeah,
it turns their face
south. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't mind God bless you, but may Jesus Christ bless you.
Yeah.
That causes consternation. But that's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only name. And that name is an affront to the devil. That name is an ugly name. It's turned into a curse word in our world instead of the most beautiful name that has ever been mentioned. But we will stand by the grace of God and say, yes, what I will do with Jesus is I will love him, I will serve him, and I will proclaim him, for he is worthy. Yeah.
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 They only know of a man. They don't really know him.
That's right. That's right. He's altogether lovely, though, isn't he? Yes. Yeah.
And all of those things. But it's the little things every day, like me not standing up and telling my cousins and the people close to me
Yes.
My world.
Yes.
That I have to focus on.
True. What will you do with Jesus? And that's a daily, there's a daily answer to that, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes, someone had on my Facebook today. He said, Jesus never said anything about gays or that they were wrong or sinners or anything. He said something about this place, this scandal was out that the husband's supposed to be cheating on the wives and the women and stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name. Some woman had a website or something.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's right. Every word. Yeah. Yeah. And he did say it. He went back to Genesis, male and female.
Yes.
He spoke it. He said it. It was clear.
Yes. Because yeah. They don't
realize. No, of course not. Of course not. Father, thank you for your presence with us tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're drawing us. You say in the Bible, we read that earlier in John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. And Lord, if the Holy Spirit's in us, what are we going to do? We're going to testify of Jesus. So, Lord, have your way in our hearts. And may we make the right choice as to what to do with Jesus Christ. Amen.